Greetings, everyone. Praise God. All those who are online, thank you for being here.
Praise you, Jesus.
All those who are here today, just want to say thank you for being gracious to be here. I know that oftentimes we still have people that straggle in a little late. Sam will be up here today and looking forward to that message. And if we could just go ahead now and pray and ask the Lord to lead, guide, and direct us. Amen. And that the Lord would just convict and convince all of us, all those who are online and who would hear this message today or who are listening in now even, that they would just receive what the Lord has for them and give their lives completely over to the Lord for self-examination, for observation, looking into your heart, looking into your life. Because there are many requirements that the Lord requires. And did you know that in order to be someone who is called of Christ, you've got to learn to be a disciple of Christ? And to be a disciple of Christ, if you're going to be a disciple, means self-denial. If you're going to take up your cross and follow after Him, now that's what it's all about. And this is where we understand that the rubber meets the road in our life of Christians. Whether or not people are a Christian or they say they're a Christian, therein is the big question in their life. It has to be proved out by the Word of God. And do they obey the words of God? Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, why don't we go ahead now and just pray and ask the Lord to get a hold of all of us, myself, you, those that are online, all of us together, because we're all in this thing together and we want to help each other make it to heaven, don't we? Praise God. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, now for what you're doing in this great day and hour, O Lord God of darkness, in deceit. All these days, O God, that every day we wake up, we hear the government one lie after another. People around us, O Lord God, with worldly thinking, pursuing worldly pursuits. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd keep us separated from all that. That we don't entertain the dainties of the world's table, Lord God. That we don't entertain those wicked thoughts that the world would devour. But that we take on the characterization, oh Lord God, of those that are a sheep. Those sheep that are given pasture to feed and to drink in quietness and peace and joy. Oh Lord God, I pray that you'd make us those sheep. And I pray, Lord God in heaven, that you would lead, guide, and direct us today. Lead, guide, and direct the worship and the praise, and that you would help Sam today, Lord God, as he comes up. Lord.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
I pray, oh Lord God, that you would help all those that are hearing today. Oh, dear God. That you would give them ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand, oh Lord. Because truly, this life is but a probation for eternity. We are here only for a short time, a vapor of time. But then comes that time where time no longer exists, but then there is only eternity to reap what we have sown in the vapor of time. Oh Lord God, I pray now that you would be with us today, convict and convince hearts, people's lives to change, O God, to be completely committed unto Thee, that they would fight the devil and not allow the devil to take a hold of their lives and to keep them from serving you, Lord, that would ransack their lives one step at a time. Oh, Lord God, we pray that you would be with us. Under the blood, we pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, let your Spirit be here today. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Well,
thank you, Jesus.
Well, we're going to go now, and I would imagine we could go to perhaps to start things off. There is a song that I enjoy a lot. It's just a short chorus to start things off. It's called "Have Faith in God," number 39 in the chorus. And you see, it's going to be important that people understand that this walk in life, if you're following after the Lord, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, then it'll be a life of self-denial. Are you watching your neighbor go to hell and not say anything about it? Are you being a witness wherever you are? Do you have that love and concern for your family to pray for them daily? Do you have that conviction in your heart that would cause people? Are you getting uncomfortable? Because that's a good thing if you are. Let the Lord work in your life. Let the Lord put a burr under your saddle. Let the Lord put a fire in your belly. Let the Lord take that log out of your eye that you might be focused and you can see clearly before God and men. So that we could change and give God the glory in the process of time. Amen?
Amen. Praise you.
Because the time is short, the way is narrow. The days are wicked and evil. And we don't want to stand before God on that day where He says, "I never knew you."
That's right.
Many will stand on that day and say, and the Lord will say, "I never knew you." So you've toiled your whole life lying to yourself and thinking that I've been a Christian because I've feigned to love someone from afar. Or I lied to myself because I don't want to get uncomfortable with changing and causing people to revile me for the Lord's sake. Amen? It's going to take a narrow road to walk. So let's go there. We need to have that faith in God, that love for God, that character of God, that barometer that you know you're of God is when you start living the life of self-denial. Let's sing that. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. One more time. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Praise God in heaven.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
You know, many people get frustrated in life because they don't ever see themselves changing. People feel like, I'm living this life and it's mundane. Things never change because it's always been the same and I never seem to get over that hump. I can never seem to reach the other side of that hill. I never seem to get that victory in hand. But you see, along with faith, self-denial is obedience. When you dare to believe God, believe God. That's what faith is. Amen? Believe with all your heart. Ask God to make a change in your life. And then when you begin to start praying earnestly, emphatically, against sin in your life, against those things that rob you of the joy and the peace, against those things that take away the victory, against those things that would hinder you from having that kind of walk with God where you're walking with power. You see, if we don't live the life in private and in public, we lie. We're liars, all of us. Anyone who lives that kind of life and then claims to love God and claims to love their brothers and sisters in the Lord is doing a huge disservice, not only to God, but to all those that you would want to love and to help, to encourage and strengthen. But it truly isn't there until your heart is changed. It truly isn't changed until you are changed. Then you can come and begin to do a work, not only for God, but God will start to move on your life. You'll have power in your life to make the changes. The changes will be manifest in your attitude towards God and others. How you think, how you feel. The things that you end up doing at the end of the day, have you done it for the glory of God? Or has it done, and was it done, for your own lust, for your own, the pride of life and the lust of your eyes and flesh that you might heap it upon yourselves? We need a touch from God, don't
That's
we?
That's right, amen. Oh,
we Jesus. Need a touch from God. But with that touch, I want to encourage people today. With that touch comes obedience. We must put our heart in a place where we set it like flint rock before God. Much like a smoker who decides he wants to quit smoking, he's going to do something about it, or she. They're going to do something about that habit, aren't they? They're going to quit it. They're going to fight it.
That's right. Amen.
They're going to fight that addiction. They're going to come against it. And they're going to have a hatred for it in their heart, because it offends God and it offends all that is called righteous and good.
That's right.
And so we need that touch from God. That touch as we pray to God to deliver us and touch our lives that we might be pleasing before Him. To live lives that are going to be holy before God. That are going to be meaningful. That are going to mean something when our days are over. Let's go there and sing that number 76 in the chorus. Reach out and touch the Lord. And truly, there's more to life than just singing a song. You've got to live that life and then sing it with all your heart as a prayer unto God. Don't be afraid to raise your voices. Don't be afraid to raise your hands. Don't be afraid to be what God wants you to be. It's too bad that most people will never grapple that thought in life. But they miss out on the boatload of blessings that God wants to give them. But let's go there. Reach out and touch the Lord. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Are you reaching out? Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord with all your heart, your might, your strength, with all the love and the faith that you have in you. Don't borrow it from somebody else. Ask God to fill you with that Spirit. Ask God to fill your heart with that. Let's sing it one more time. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, O Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise God in heaven.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
You know, in the days of old, you had men and women who died for Christ. Not only did they live for Christ, they died for Christ.
That's right, they did.
You had people that were persecuted because they dared to take a stand for God. They dared to do what was right in the face of danger, persecution, slander. They were willing to be used and abused for the sake of God. How precious in the sight of God is such a one today. Amen. To see a man or a woman who is willing to be slandered, lied about, taken advantage of, all for the sake of Christ. And not looking for revenge, but rather praying for such people. Amen?
Praise you, Lord.
Daniel did it. Amen. Joseph did it. Mordecai did it. Many others did it. They prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. They lived. And they lived. They didn't compromise their lives. Their lives were full of salt and fire. Their lives were full of light. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
From the morning, afternoon, and evening, their lives became something of great value and worth to God, that He could use them as vessels unto honor. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, number 83, from the rising of the sun, according to Psalm 50, verse 1. And sing that song. Because truly we ought to be doing that. If you're not getting up in the morning and spending time with God, you're missing out. You've already missed the boat. Spend time with the Lord when you get up in the morning. Spend time with the Lord in the afternoon. By all means, spend time with the Lord at night. Pray. Seek God's face while there's still yet time. Amen? Because, like I said earlier, the days are wicked and evil and short. The Lord is drawn nigh unto His people that draw nigh to Him. Amen?
That's right.
Sing that now with us. Every one of them, raise their arms, raise your voices, your hearts to God from the rising of the sun. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Praise you, Lord.
Give God the glory. Praise His name. Thank you, Lord God in heaven, for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. And you know, a lot of times we have folk out there who misinterpret the Word of God. Amen? You have these Baptist believers, these Baptist folk who think that as soon as you're born again, you've automatically received the Holy Ghost, which is not true.
That's right. It's not true.
It's not true at all. You know, those apostles on the day of Pentecost, they were told to wait for God until He imbued them with power from on high, which was the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They had to wait for God. Amen.
Amen.
They had to wait on the Lord until He blessed them with that promise, that seal of His promise.
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
And that's what we need to have, that overcoming power and victory today in today's wicked world. To be that salt and light that will overcome all things all the time. And thus, we would have that, not only the joy, but we'll have peace that passes all understanding. Truly, that is a promise from God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And most people don't even get there. And then they look at God and they ask questions, why, Lord? Why am I not filled? Are you seeking the Lord?
Oh, Jesus.
Why am I not having that joy and peace?
Jesus.
Are you filled with the Holy Ghost?
Oh, praise your name, Jesus.
So why don't we sing that song today? Fill my cup, Lord. Number 88 in the chorus. Fill my cup. And the Lord would want you to be seeking after the Lord every opportunity you have until you are filled with the Holy Ghost. It says, wait on Him. Pray. And seek after. The Lord isn't saying just living your life normally like you would any other day. And occasionally you might pray about it. No. The Lord is asking you to seek Him now.
That's right.
And don't stop until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, there was a man called D.L. Moody. Many people call him a Baptist, but I beg to differ for you. I beg to differ that he was no Baptist. He would take young street children off the street.
Oh, praise your God.
He would take them into a place of worship or some enclosed building, and he would sit there and pray them through to the Holy Ghost until they received the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Young street children who didn't know anything about God at all. But then you have church folk who have been going to church for 40 years, warming those pews, and never changing.
Oh, God, help us.
So let's sing that. It can be had if you really want it. Fill my cup, Lord.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise
trying to get
Lord.
People
thank you, God.
To get into their right spirit.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Before Sam comes up so he can preach and not be hindered. So we can pray and seek God and have that blessing, amen? That blessing that comes from on high, unhindered. So let's sing one more before he comes, before we take up our tithes and offerings. Hallelujah, he's an answering God, number 95 in the chorus. Let's go there. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. I prayed in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Oh, reach out to him. He's an answering God. Praise God in heaven. Reach out to him now. He's an answering God who will meet your needs. If we have the Spirit of God come down from heaven today, and every time we come here, did you know that the anointing breaks the yoke?
Praise you, Lord.
Did you know that then the man or woman who would come up here to teach or to preach would be able to do so freely with the Spirit of God working and moving? We need that in this church. We need that more than ever. We need more than ever the Spirit of God to move through every one of us.
That's right. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus.
Why don't we go ahead now and take up a quick tithes and offerings. Could I have our dear brother Rob do this for me? Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. If anybody has a prayer request or a need that they would like, please feel free to raise your hand. We can pray. Sister? Praise God. Amen. Sister? You can have the Holy Ghost.
Praise you, Jesus.
And if you would like, we can pray for you after. And we'll get that before the Lord. We'll pray with you, for you. And we want you to pray also, sister.
That's amen. A blessing. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Because you see, God wants to fill you with heaven today. You
praise
can have it today.
Amen. Praise
but wait
you,
on
Jesus.
The Lord. Don't get discouraged. Seek Him. Seek Him daily. Not only will you be filled, your children, your precious husband, it'll be a blessing. It'll be a day to be reckoned with for all eternity.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Why don't we pray with our sister today before we give over the service to Sam? And let's just pray. Lord God in heaven, our dear sister, Tori, Lord God, you've seen that hand as she raised it. She had a question, Lord God. She had a comment she wanted to make. That comment, Lord, was that she wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, that is the bread of life. That is the new wine. That is that water that comes from the belly, that lively, live, fresh water that gives life. We thank you, Father God, for that spirit that she has. And we ask you, Lord, now, Lord, that you would begin to work in her life now. Begin to do a work, Lord God, with her and through her. Fill her, O Lord, mightily with the Holy Ghost. As she opens up her soul, her heart to thee, Lord God. Nothing hindering, Lord God, in heaven. But that she be filled with the Holy Ghost. O Lord God, we pray that you would do so not only for our dear sister Tori, but that you would do so for her loved ones, for her family, her friends, and all who she would come in contact with, creating a revival.
Yes, God, revival.
Lord God, we pray that that would touch every one of us here today, that we would have that spirit within us, that we would all seek after it until we're filled with it and not give up. Thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you for Sam, O Lord God. As he comes up here, I pray that you would bless him, Lord God. That you would bless that message, O God. Let it be a mighty outpouring, O God. Let it come forth, O God, that people could receive. O Lord God, that they would receive. O Heavenly Father, Lord God, that they would be moved and changed, O God, that you would do a work, a mighty work, O God. We thank you, Lord God in heaven, for all that you're doing, praising your holy name, glorifying your name, O God, that we be changed forever. Thank you, God, for your glory, we pray. Thank you, Jesus.
O
Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus, for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. O Lord God, I praise your name right now. Thank you, Lord God. We praise your name, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh God. Oh, Heavenly Father, God. Oh, Lord God, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God. Your spirit moving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for your spirit touching people today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, oh God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now we'll have our dear brother come up, Sam. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it is so good to be here this morning. It is so good to have another opportunity to study God's Word. I love doing that, and that's why I'm here today. I hope that's why you're all here today, to worship God and to study His Word. Before I get into today's study, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We ask, O Lord, that thy spirit would be here with each and every one of us. We ask, O Lord, that thou wouldest open our hearts. We ask, O Lord, that thou wouldest give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask for thy blessing here today, and we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood.
Amen.
Well, today's study is something that the Lord started giving me last Sunday. It kind of hit me like a flood all at once, and we're going to call this message today, the cleansing power of God.
Amen.
I know we all need some cleansing from time to time, living in this evil world that seems to be getting worse and worse all the time. There are so many things happening in this world that just, you know, being out in the world, it can make you feel dirty. And that's why you need to get close to God. That's why you need to draw near to God. And He can cleanse you.
Yes.
That's what we're going to look at today. To start off, I would like to go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. We're going to look at a man who needed some cleansing.
Oh,
you know, I couldn't help but think of how we're all on this road of life, and we're either on the straight and narrow or we're on the wide road, and we have a destination.
Amen.
That destination, it's either going to be heaven or hell, and that's going to be eternity either way. But, you know, sometimes when we're out on that road, things hit us. Couldn't help but think of, you know, I remember back in February 2010, I was getting ready to go to South Carolina for the first time to meet the girl who would eventually become my wife. And, you know, I know she didn't really like dirty cars very much. And I, you know, that day before, that morning, I got up real early in the morning. I think it was 6:30 in the morning. And I went and I put gas in my car and I got a car wash. And my car was all nice and clean. And, I got on the highway in my clean car, you know, it looked black again instead of gray, and started driving down the highway, you know, and doesn't take long, and then there's bugs hitting the windshield and mud splattering all over it and salt from the highway because it was winter, and I don't know what I was thinking, because by the time I got there 1,000 miles later down to South Carolina, that was the filthiest my car had ever been, I think. I mean, I had been through Illinois and Iowa and Kentucky and Tennessee and Indiana, driving through the mountains of North Carolina. My car was filthy. And, you know, that's how it is sometimes in a spiritual sense. We travel down that road and things hit us. All the wickedness and the evil and the treachery of this world, that can have an effect on us. It can splatter on us a little bit. That's why we need to come to God for our cleansing.
Amen.
And if possible, that's why it's so important to gather with like-minded believers, because that builds your faith.
Yes.
And come here and be cleansed. I know not everyone can be here, and I know there are many, many people out there who would love to be here today, but they can't be because they're at a distance. But we are so blessed to be able to come here and to seek God and to seek His cleansing power. What I'd like to do now is start in 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, 2 Kings chapter 5 tells the story of a man named Naaman. He was a Syrian. He was a very powerful man. He was a mighty man of valor. But he had a problem. He had a horrible disease. A disease known as leprosy. And of course, the disease known as leprosy is progressive. It gets worse and worse. And for Naaman, he knew that his future was going to be very unpleasant, because he was going to lose the full function of his hands and his feet and his limbs. His skin was going to be disfigured. He would maybe even lose the function of his eyes. I was actually reading a little bit about leprosy earlier today, and it is a horrible disease. It's actually a bacterial infection, and that's what it does. And I saw some pictures of people who have leprosy. It's a very horrible thing. So despite how great this man was in the Syrian kingdom, he had a problem. He was a leper. So he did not have a lot to look forward to. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it tells us, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." So the Syrians had taken captives out of the land of Israel, and one of them was a little girl who served Naaman's wife. "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Can you believe that faith? That faith of that little girl? You know, sometimes the strongest faith can be found with little children, because they just believe what God tells them through his word. And I do believe that God also speaks to the hearts of little children, and they listen. For all the gunk of this world can have an impact on them, God is with those little children, and they have great faith. "And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. So they went and they told Naaman, There's a girl here, a little girl, who says that there's a man in Israel who can heal you of your leprosy." I'm sure that must have been very exciting for him. I'm sure he probably didn't believe it at first. He was probably doubtful, but nevertheless, he wanted to investigate this and find out if this was indeed possible. "And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." That was a lot of money, changes of raiment, clothing at the time was very expensive, so 10 changes of clothing was worth a lot. "And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Can you imagine what the king of Israel was thinking when he got that letter? "I don't know how to cure leprosy. Well, what's this all about? He must be trying to start a war or something." "And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." So he just thought, he's trying to start something. There's no way I can cure leprosy. But somehow Elisha, the man of God, heard about this. It tells us in verse 8, "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So, you know, Elisha is basically saying to the king, "What are you so upset about? Just send it to me." "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." So Naaman, this mighty man from Syria, he arrived at the house of Elisha with his whole entourage, and I'm sure he wanted to see a big show, but that wasn't going to happen. "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Elisha didn't even come out to see this man. He sent a messenger. And for a powerful man like Naaman, this was seen as a great disrespect towards him. He was upset. He was angry. It tells us in verse 11, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." He thought it was going to be a big show. But no, that's not what was going to happen there. You see, before Naaman could be healed of this awful disease, before he could be cleansed, he had to humble himself.
Amen.
As long as he had pride in his life, he was not going to be cured. He was not going to be healed, and he was not going to be cleansed. And you know, it's the same way with us today. If you want to be cleansed, you have to humble yourself before God. You can't be proud. You have to give God all the glory, because without him, we can do nothing. And only through him can we be cleansed. It's not anything of ourselves. It's all from God. But Naaman was upset. He wanted attention. He wanted a big show. Verse 12, "Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. That's pretty serious. He wasn't just mad, he was in a rage. You know, he thought, well, there are cleaner rivers in Damascus. You know, if that's all there was to it, then why can't I just go wash in those waters and be clean? But it wasn't about the water. It was about obedience.
Amen.
It was about obeying God. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're cleansed.
Amen.
And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" So his servants came to Naaman to try to talk some sense into him, and maybe he finally cooled down a little bit and started thinking, and he realized, you know, I have this horrible disease, it's going to get worse, I'm going to be horribly disfigured, I might lose function of my limbs. And here he was given a solution so easy. Just go to the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times and you'll come up clean. It was so easy. And yet he didn't want to do it. But he came to his senses. He finally came to his senses. And verse 14 tells us, "Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean." You see what happens when you obey God?
Oh, amen.
Yeah.
He will cleanse you.
Oh, thank.
And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Naaman realized something that day. There is no other God but the God of Israel. The same God who is our God today. Same God who once put on flesh and came to this earth is Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
He is the one and only and true God. But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman is offering Elisha all this wealth, silver, and all the fine things he had brought, and clothing, but Elisha wouldn't take it. You see, you can't buy your salvation from the Lord. You can't buy God's blessings. You know, I know in the Bible it says that if you give from the abundance of your heart and joyfully give, that God will bless you for it. But some people, they think, well, if I put something in the offering basket, then God has to bless me. He has to give me 10 times as much as that, but 100-fold or whatever. And that's not the way it works. If that's your attitude, then you won't be blessed for it. God loves the cheerful giver, and he doesn't want you to just give because you feel like you have to. So Naaman was trying to reward Elijah for that, but this was God's doing, and Elijah knew that he didn't deserve a reward for any of it. That would be giving the glory to Elijah. But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naamed said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord." Must have been quite a revelation for Naamed that day. Realize who the true God was. "And this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." So Naamed, he was actually part of the Syrian government, and sometimes he'd be called upon to go into that temple of Rimmon, be forced to bow down before it, but he didn't want to. "And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naamed the Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi, Elisha's servant, he saw all that money, all those precious metals, all the silver, all the changes of raiment, and he thought to himself, my master must be crazy not to take that. I'm going to go get some of that. But you know, when you set your mind on gaining wealth, it often ends in disaster. God will give you what you need.
Amen.
You don't need to go out there and seek to be rich. Sometimes God does bless his people with riches, but you know, when he does that, I think he knows who can handle it and who can't, and who will actually do something good with it and who won't.
Amen.
But some people will seek wealth anyway, and sometimes it's outside the will of God, and sometimes they get it, and sometimes it destroys them.
Amen.
So Gehazi, he decided to go after Naamed and see what he could get. So Gehazi followed after Naamed. And when Naamed saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. So now Gehazi is telling a lie. None of this was true. There were no 2 young men coming from the Mount Ephraim. But even if they were, I can't think of any reason they would need a talent of silver.
Yeah.
2 changes of garments, maybe, but didn't make a whole lot of sense. And Naamed said, Be content, take 2 talents. So Naamed, he was a happy guy, and he said, You know what? Take 2 talents of silver. And he urged him, and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he's asking, Where you been, Gehazi? Oh, nowhere, you know. But Elisha knew the truth. God had revealed that to him. Gehazi wasn't fooling anyone. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naamed shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow.
Amen.
So we see in this chapter what happens when you obey the Lord, as Naaman did. And then we see what happens when you disobey the Lord, as Gehazi did. Gehazi was going to be a leper for the rest of his life. It was a horrible and treacherous thing. But one of the lessons we can glean from this chapter in 2 Kings is that our God can make us clean, as he did for Naaman. Despite whatever sins you may have, it may not be leprosy you need to be cleansed of, but leprosy is very much like sin in a sense. And we need to be cleansed of all sin, because sin is a progressive spiritual disease. It gets worse and worse. And the more sin you have, the more of your spiritual function you lose, until you get to a point where you can no longer function spiritually, and you can no longer see things spiritually because of the sin in your life. We all need to be cleansed. I'd like now to go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm that was written shortly after David had come to his senses. David had committed a horrible sin. He had taken a married woman, and he had killed her husband. This was a horrible and treacherous thing he had done, and God had sent the prophet Nathan to David to tell him that he was in serious trouble and that he was going to have to answer for his sins. This psalm was written after David realized all of that. And this psalm is a psalm of repentance and a prayer for cleansing. You know, sometimes if you feel like you need to be cleansed, a good thing to do is just get down on your knees, and you can actually pray a psalm if you don't know what to say. And this is a good psalm to pray. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. You know, if you want to be cleansed from your sins, you have to acknowledge that they're there. You have to confess your faults and your sins to God. And when you do so in humility, he will cleanse you. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, to be washed by the Savior. And that is something he is willing to do for each and every one of us. All the sin, filth, and garbage in your life, he will wash you, and you will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. God has promised to do that if we repent of our sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Sometimes we just all need that renewing of the spirit, a renewing of a right spirit, because there is so much sin and wickedness in this world. It does have an impact on us. We can be refreshed and we can be renewed. We can be cleansed by God. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. When you come before God broken in spirit, when you realize that you need him to cleanse you, to clean your heart, that's when the Lord will be with you. That's when he'll answer your prayers. That's when he'll wash you as white as snow. Praise the Lord. Do good and in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks unto thine altar. We see here that if you cry out to God, if you pray before God, he will hear those prayers and he will cleanse you. There's another chapter in the Bible which goes along with Psalm 51 very well. In fact, it's kind of amazing how well it goes along with it. And I'm actually talking about Isaiah chapter 1. Let's go there now. When the book of Isaiah was written by the prophet Isaiah, Israel had lost its way. They were full of sin and iniquity, and God was fed up with their wickedness. If we go down to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10, it tells us, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." And these verses we're about to read here, they apply to the United States of America too. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts?" You know, God was actually, he had actually grown tired of their burnt offerings and sacrifices, which they had done in vain. They just did it to go through the motions, and they thought that that would redeem them and that they would be okay, but they completely lost sight of what that was all about. When the children of Israel were sacrificed animals for their sins, they were supposed to do that with the realization that that animal was being killed in their stead, and that they were the ones who deserved to die, and that they had to stand there and watch that, and it was supposed to crush them. It was supposed to eat them up inside. But it got to a point where the children of Israel had grown so wicked that they would go out and sin and figure, all right, well, we'll just make sure we buy enough lambs and bullocks and goats to cover the sacrifices. And when it was done in that manner, God no longer accepted that. In fact, he hated it, as we'll see from these verses. "When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." with the abortion so rampant in the United States today, there are many hands which are full of blood. Verse 16, wash ye, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. So now God here is telling us how we can be cleansed from our sins. This is what we must do if we want to be clean in the sight of God. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what happens when you obey the Lord. That's what happens when you repent of your sins, when you put away the evil of your doings before His eyes. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So we see there that God is ready and willing to cleanse us of all our iniquity, of all our sins. But there are so many people who refuse to do that. There are so many people who refuse to humble themselves before God in obedience, call upon Him and confess their sins, and seek His cleansing power. It's so sad that so many people refuse to do that. And of course, there are many people in this world who seem righteous in their own eyes. They don't think they need to be cleansed. A good example of that were the religious elite who were around during the time Jesus was on earth, the Pharisees and so forth. Why don't we go now to Matthew chapter 23. We're going to read about some men who desperately needed to be cleansed, but they couldn't see it. They couldn't understand it. Matthew chapter 23, verse 1 tells us, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe, let observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." So we see it as a problem already. The Pharisees did not practice what they preached. They were hypocrites. "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues." These Pharisees loved to be seen, they loved to be heard, they loved to wear their fancy garments, as if to signify how righteous and holy they were. Are there any religions that still do that today? "And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren." Are there any religions out there that still refer to men as rabbis? "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." Are there any religions out there that still call men their fathers? Well, I can think of the Catholics for that one. It says very plainly here not to do that, yet within the Catholic religion they often do the exact opposite of what the Bible says. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You have to humble yourself before the Lord, before he can use you, before he can cleanse you. These Pharisees desperately needed to be cleansed, but they didn't realize that. They just couldn't see it. They thought they were good. They thought they were righteous. They thought they were holy. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. They were standing in the way. They were preventing people from entering the kingdom of God. That's a horrible thing. They thought they were holy and righteous, but all they were doing was preventing others from coming in and knowing the Lord and receiving true salvation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold, more the child of hell than yourselves. Can you think of any religions that travel over sea and land to try to make proselytes? I can think of one. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. These Pharisees were so worldly that they couldn't even see the spiritual things of God. Sure, they'd pay their tithes, but the weightier matters they didn't understand, they didn't comprehend. The weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying these Pharisees, although they like to appear clean and holy and righteous on the outside, walk around in their fancy religious cloth, they were filthy inside. They desperately needed to be cleansed. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. And we all need to be cleansed on the inside. To the innermost depths of our heart and of our soul, we need to be cleansed by God. We need to be washed and made white as snow. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Those men, the religious elite of that time, they thought they were really something. They thought they were holy. But they were spiritually dead inside, full of all uncleanness. Even so, Ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. How many men today appear righteous outwardly, but within they're full of hypocrisy and iniquity? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. You know, these Pharisees knew what their ancestors had done, how they had killed the prophets of God. And they said, you know, if we had been alive back then, we wouldn't have done it. It's funny how the Catholics say the same thing about the Inquisition, when they ruthlessly and brutally murdered so many people. Catholics alive today say, we wouldn't have done that. Yes, they would have. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? You know, Jesus is no teddy bear God. He always speaks the truth. And there are some people who might not want to read this chapter because it makes them uncomfortable, but Jesus was really letting them have it. He was not holding back. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and prosecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. See, Jesus is willing to cleanse us. He was willing to cleanse them if they would have humbled themselves before God. But they were unwilling to do that. And there were great consequences for that. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And of course, there he was speaking of the temple in Israel, which eventually was destroyed by the Romans. That has already come to pass. That has come true. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So we see there are consequences for disobeying the Lord. There are consequences for being filthy on the inside and unwilling to let God cleanse your heart and your soul. We all need that cleansing. I'd like to go to one more portion of Scripture before we close. Matthew chapter 8. I can't read this chapter without thinking of my dad. It was a chapter he preached from in his very last sermon on May 23rd, 2010. So every time I see this chapter, I can't help but think of him. And what a wonderful chapter it is. But we're just going to read a very small portion of this chapter today. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. There were great multitudes following Jesus, who had just come down from the mountain. And behold, this was right after he had given his sermon on the mount, by the way. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's how we need to approach it.
Yeah.
We need to come to Jesus and say, Lord, if thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. If you come before Jesus, if you humble yourself before Jesus, if you say to Jesus, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus will answer you. He will. And you will be clean. But just as he said to this leper, I will, be thou clean. You too can be clean. Jesus is ready and willing to do that for you. Even this very day, if there's anything you need to be cleansed of today,
amen.
Just say to the Lord, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And mean it. Mean it from the depths of your soul. He will answer you. He will cleanse you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to study thy word. We thank thee for thy cleansing power, O God, and we thank thee for thy willingness to cleanse us of all our sins. We ask, O God, that thou wouldest make us humble ourselves before thee so that we may receive this cleansing, that we may be free of all sin and wickedness, and be as pure and as white as snow. We ask, O God, that these words would not leave us, but that this lesson we have been taught today would stay with us for the rest of our lives. We ask, O God, that thou wouldest continue to work on us each and every day, that we would continually come before you for that renewing of the spirit, that cleansing of the soul. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And we'll close with a chorus. Number 78 in the chorus book, Keep on Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. You're dismissed unto prayer. Thank you.
Amen.